Welcome to the Forcecast, your weekly dose of Star Wars news and much more.
This station is now the ultimate power in the universe. I suggest we use it.
All systems have been alerted to your presence, sir.
Check it out, Corporal.
Roger, roger.
Now your hosts of the Forcecast, Jason and Pete.
We would be honored if you would join us.
All right, so maybe it'll work this time.
Yeah, I hope so.
We are, you know, folks, when I say that we're doing this show with a couple of tin cans and a string, I really mean it. We're having some technical difficulties, but we're here for you nonetheless. The Forcecast, the week of March 30th, 2007. I am Jason, and with me, via the interweb, our own jovial Jay Shepherd. Welcome, Jay.
Hey, everybody. Thanks, Jason.
Yeah, the show's going really smoothly. Thanks for thanks for agreeing to do this.
I'm glad I could drop by and cause you some more headaches.
Well, no, it's worth it. It's worth it. So we'll make whatever accommodations we need to make for you to have you on the show, we will. And so we appreciate having you here. For those of you that are new to join us, we are the official podcast of TheForce.net and RebelScum.com, and happy to be so. And this show is brought to you by our good friends at Official Picks. That's OfficialPicks.com, picks with an X. And they are your source for all of your Star Wars autograph and photograph needs. Jay, I know they're a part of your collection, right?
Yeah, I've got some Celebration 3 pictures, and then my Pièce de Resistance, which is a big one of the large posters that was hanging behind the celebrities at Celebration 3 of Chewbacca, which was behind Peter Mayhew. I got that autograph by him up in Philly shortly after C3 and got it framed up nicely.
Well, how nice. Now, that's something you couldn't buy at OfficialPicks.com, though, right?
That is not something you can buy at OfficialPicks.com, but...
you have to know somebody at OfficialPicks.com.
Well, if you're working at via OfficialPicks volunteers, you might just be there working after the show, and there may be some stuff sitting around that, you know, you might be able to get.
That was a good plug. I like the way you worked that in.
Yeah, you like that?
You're a pro. You're a pro. Yeah. All right. Well, we've got a couple of birthday announcements. Jay, you want to go ahead and take those?
What have we here?
So next, it's nowhere near as good as Pete's, but next Friday.
No, nowhere near as bad as Pete's. That's it. They're bad impressions.
So next Friday, April 6th, is Billy Dee's birthday. And, I didn't put down how old he's going to be here. But
He's ageless. He's timeless.
He is. I mean, he still looks great, however old he is. And then coming up tomorrow, as the show goes live here on March 31st, Ewan McGregor is going to be 34.
34. Ewan, he's another one that I have kind of that love-hate relationship going with.
Yeah?
Yeah. I love Ewan.
You love to hate him?
I love to hate him. Well, I'll never forgive him for about falling over laughing at the do you remember when someone from the press ran up to him? He was at some event, and they said, "Hey, do you hear that George Lucas just released the title of Episode 2?
Oh yeah,
and they got video of him. He's hardly able to even stand. He's laughing so hard.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. He was always there with those snide comments.
But you know, he showed up and he did his work, and I think his performance is admirable.
Oh, no doubt. I mean, that's the thing. That's the love hate thing. He's so perfect and so great in the role. There was nobody else that I would rather have do it. But yet, you know, I don't know. I just some of the celebs, I wish they gave a little bit more love to the fans. That's all.
Just the reverence for the titles. You know, announcement, it's like, oh, that is a beautiful title. I'm glad George something like that. I mean,
yes, exactly. Or he could have just said, oh, all right, that makes sense. Yes. And you know, I don't know. But you know, what are you gonna say? What are you gonna say?
People, you know, yeah, you never know what they're up to. They're people. They got lives, they're dealing with their own issues and stuff like that. But
right.
I hear you.
Right. Well, I might as well get into it. You know, last week we kind of joked and said that this segment on the show was going to be something like apologies. So we've got. I'm going to go ahead and say that I apologize to all the hardworking men and women at LucasArts. I know I've been kind of a jerk about The Force Unleashed and maybe even, you know, slightly exaggerating how long the delay is. Jay, you corrected me earlier tonight. It's not 9 months. You are very optimistic. What do you think?
I'm thinking it could be as little as 4 months. And that's, you know, if we're talking spring of next year, you know, that's about a year from now, which puts it in the March-April time frame. Now, yeah. it could spring is, you know, about three and a half months long. So it's possible that it could be stretched out. But as I mentioned to Jason earlier, you know, the books have been pushed back are in a February-March time frame. Those are the dates that Del Rey is putting out right now for their release dates, having moved their schedule around. So, you know, and that's good. And you know, I'm sure the people over there are not just sitting around playing the game, right? I'm sure they're working on it.
Now, Jay, what do you know? Is this book going to be a tie-in, or is this going to be the official version of the story that we'll be playing in the game?
As far as I know, it's going to be the official version of the story, the same way that Shadows of the Empire was the entire, well, it wasn't the entire story, because you got some of the story in the comic book, you got some of the story in the novel, you got another bit of story in the video game. Each franchise focused, or each media component focused on its own group of characters, right? Because the book was like Princess Leia and Luke and Han and everybody like that. The comics focused a little bit on the bounty hunters and there was some Luke and stuff in it, and of course Kyle Katarn in the Dash Rendar in the games.
Right.
So,
but with Force Unleashed, I mean the video game is the centerpiece of this whole campaign.
Well, that's what they've been talking about now, but I'm sure as we see it come out, they're going to be pushing the figures. They're going to be pushing the book. There's going to be this comic graphic novel or mini series or something coming.
Yeah.
But you know, based on what we've seen, and I think it was in one of Brett Rector's diaries or something that Hayden Blackman had wrote online at the official site, saying that there are going to be multiple endings for the game, right? Just like any other game, you know, depending on how you play, it ends a certain way. But there will only be one of those endings that's considered canon, and that's what they're going to write the book. That's what they're going to write in the book. So,
well, and they came up against that with Knights of the Old Republic too, did they not?
Yeah, except that they've really there is one canon ending considered for the story of Knights of the Old Republic, but I mean, of course, that's never been adapted into any other mediums. You know,
I see. Story. Well, right.
But yeah, that's a good point. They choose out of all of their properties. They choose, you know, if there are multiple endings or multiple characters you can be, like in like Jedi Academy or something like that, you can be all sorts of different types of aliens and characters. There's one that's the canon character that does the canon things,
right? Well, I mean, so if they're looking at, if Del Rey's looking at a release for the book February-March, you're thinking then, well, the game cannot be far behind that. I mean,
exactly.
I mean it would take a lot of the suspense out of the game to have read the novelization first,
probably. And right now, I mean, I think the big deal with the game is we want to know more about the Secret Apprentice.
Right.
And I think they're teasing us with that. I think we'll find out more as the time comes around. If not, you know, not having an action figure made of this character, at least we'll learn, you know, the name and some backstory and stuff beforehand. But of course, I mean, I'm sure this is all contingent on LucasArts and how they're moving along, because there was this, I don't know, it's like a 3-page article on StarWars.com over the last week here about how they go through the process.
Yeah, it's a fantastic article over at the official site written by Hayden Blackman, and that's one of the reasons why I wanted to make this apology. We got an email from a listener saying, hey, I work in the video game industry. You're being way harsh on these guys. You have no idea how hard they work and how many little things can go wrong, and then they may be just a little thing, but one little thing could set them back months, and that he thinks that seems to be what, you know, because they're really pushing the envelope with this game.
Oh, yeah, all sorts of new technology. And, I mean, they're, besides working on next-gen platforms, which are still relatively new in terms of, you know, the capabilities of them, they're really pushing the envelope, it seems like, with the AI. I mean, that's probably their biggest thing.
You think there's any truth to the rumor that this is about the Wii, Jay? And getting it out on the Wii?
I don't think that they would have made an announcement. Yeah. It's possible, but I'm not holding my breath for it.
Okay.
They're not going to make an announcement and say, hey, we've got this great game coming out. It's going to be November. And then all of a sudden, you know, a couple fan petitions pop up. Oh, we want it on the PC. We want it on the Wii. And LucasArts goes, oh my God, what did we think about this? Okay, fine. We'll push it back to spring and we'll put it out for there. You know, I mean, for the life cycle that it takes to do a game, and I do software development, so, I mean, for, you know, applications and stuff like that, so I understand that, and I can imagine a game being, you know, a lot more involved than that, especially after reading this article. They're not going to be able to write it for another platform by adding, you know, a few extra months to the end of the whole process here, you know, stretching it out. So, I mean, maybe if it was a port, but... You know, I don't think so.
Well,
I think they've got some other things they've run up against, and it's just, you know, like this article points out, they're doing some tests with the AI. They're finding what the consoles can handle, and so they have to recraft the story or the levels to match that. And I think they just ran into something and said, okay, you know, this our pipeline got bumped back by, you know, a couple months here, and that's going to delay everybody a couple months plus another month or whatever, and, you know, we'll see what happens.
Well, I guess, yeah, time will tell. You think they'll accept my apology?
I hope so. And
I like those guys over there. They've emailed us from time to time, people from LucasArts, people from Lucas Online. And,
they're good folks over there. If you're really nice and you say, you know, I would really love to review this game, but I need to have an Xbox 360 to do it, maybe they would send one over.
I want to get one of those, the new one that's coming out, the Elite.
Oh,
did you hear about that? Yeah, it's got the
120
gigabyte hard drive and yeah. But you know what? It doesn't have the DVD, the HD DVD drive, which I was really thinking it would.
I'm sure that'll be an add-on you can get at some point.
Yeah, I'm sure. Yeah.
I'll just stick to my Macintosh. Thank you very much.
All right. Well, speaking of, Jay, you mentioned petitions earlier, online petitions. There's a new petition out there for German collectors. German fans are really wanting to get support to have their own exclusive figure from Hasbro. They're tired of the Americans having all the fun. This is kind of interesting. It'll be interesting to see how Hasbro's reaction to this. Now, you were telling me that the follow-up to this is that Australia's got their own now, right? Their own petition.
I want to say it was a reader from Australia who sent in an email to Rebel Scum after we posted this story and said, hey, just want to let you know all the folks down in Australia are trying to get one, too. So, you know, that'd be really cool. Now, what, obviously, we see the kind of hue and cry that goes up when people like Gentle Giant say, great, people want exclusives. You know, people want stuff around the world. Great, we're going to do a, you know, we're going to do the Clone Trooper. We're going to do five Clone Troopers. We're going to do one and, you know, at five different conventions around the world.
Right.
And everybody goes, oh, well, that's not what we meant. How are we going to get those now? So, you know, for this to you know, say, okay, so now all these other countries are going to have exclusive action figures. There's some of us were talking saying, well, maybe it's just going to be a retooled American exclusive and they're going to rework it, you know, if this were to fly, you know, and make, you know, just have something because they already would have something, right, to
right.
issue.
Well, you know, I have to think that it would be possible for them to do something online. Where each country could have their, not every country, but some of the, you know, it's, I guess where do you, that's the thing, where do you draw the line?
Where do you stop?
You know, where do you stop? But I mean, I'm just kind of looking at.
Angola wants their own action. So.
I guess it's kind of a slippery slope, you know, it's a Pandora's box, you know.
And now, correct me if I'm wrong, now, wasn't there a Comic-Con post? Episode 1, Episode 2 that had a exclusive 2-pack, like a battle droid and something else. It was like a red and white packaging.
Well, I don't know about that per se, but I know that Mexico got an exclusive Dagobah Luke and Yoda figure for one of their cons.
A 2-pack. And Quantros, yeah.
Yeah.
It was, and the thing that I'm thinking about, and I want to say it was Germany, it wasn't an exclusive figure, but it was existing figures repackaged specifically for an event in a foreign country, available only at that foreign country. So,
you know, you're right. You're absolutely right. Now, I don't know if I know the one you're talking about specifically, but there was one, I think, for one of the Asian countries where it was a pack. I want to say it was for the 25th anniversary.
Hmm. Okay.
The star. Yeah. There was a Vader and a Luke and a stormtrooper, kind of a thing.
Oh, okay.
It's been done. It's been done before, so I don't know.
Yeah.
But I think what the folks in Germany are really looking for is a real exclusive figure, something that's not been available anywhere else.
Right, like Crispy Owen and Beru or something like that. I don't know.
Well, you know what? I tell you, we're one step closer.
I'm trying to pick on Germany.
Yeah, right. We're one step closer to Crispy Beru. If you've got charred cape or a charred, you know, robe, Obi-Wan Kenobi, how far away can Crispy Aunt Beru be?
You know, they're going to keep in the envelope. They're going to make everybody eventually.
Yeah. Have you been over to Sideshow lately?
I have not been to Sideshow, but I've been keeping up with their news on StarWars.com.
Well, you've got the Best Buns photo contest. Have you heard about this?
Yes. Yeah, someone sent an email in about that.
This is pretty cool. So in honor of the upcoming, at the time this was posted, it was the upcoming pre-order for the New Hope Princess Leia 12-inch figure. And I got to say, I knew this was going to happen. I knew it. The daylight savings time. I was making fun of people that were all afraid about daylight savings time, and oh, my computer might not be right. Okay, so I'm bragging on people like, come on, you know how, you know, you live in a cave. How are you not going to know that daylight savings time? So here's what happens: my Palm Pilot, which is my life, did not switch over. So I'm going around all day on Friday thinking I've got all the time in the world. My alarm goes off. Pre-order the Princess Leia. I log on. I'm sorry, this item is sold out. What? How is this possible? It doesn't start for 15 minutes. How's it sold out? And then it hit me. What goes around comes around. So there you go. I missed out, man. I'm on the wait list. So I'm just going to say that I hope someone's credit card does not go through so that I can get my exclusive 12-inch Leia.
Well, we're all pulling for you.
Well, anyway, so in honor of the pre-order Sideshow, they got this promotion where they're challenging collectors to see who can achieve the most creative simulation of her iconic cinnamon bun hairstyle.
Yeah.
So
send in your photos, and of course the first thing that hits my mind when they say, you know, because the title, what is it, the Sideshow is looking for your best buns.
Right.
You know, what are you thinking, right? And of course, the first line of their disclaimer: no butts, please.
Yeah. Gotta love it. They put it right there in black and white. No, like, come on. You know, you're not the first one to think of this. No butt shots, please. Of themselves. Yeah, so you can actually do your, dress up your animals too. So it's open to humans and animals, and only one submission per person, please. And so six winners. There'll be one grand prize, and five runner-ups are going to be chosen from all the entries and announced in their April 5th newsletter. So,
yeah. I got to say, I mean, Sideshow, they come up with really creative ideas to market their items and to get the community interested and excited about, you know, upcoming exclusives and releases and everything like that. And this is just another one
of
things that they're doing to take advantage of the online community and everybody. So,
well, maybe this is my ticket. I don't have to pray for someone's credit to be to be revoked or whatever, but because I don't know, I could maybe enter this contest somehow, because the grand prize is the Princess Leia premium format. Oh, it's the premium format figure. See, it's not the 12-inch. That's interesting. The five runner-ups are going to get this Princess Leia T-shirt. Talks about the buns, but
right, which is I'd be happy with the T-shirt. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, but this is kind of odd that the prize is the premium format figure that they've had knocking around the warehouse for quite a while.
Well, again, you know, I don't know. They're trying to just get some. Well, they're probably trying to move their stock.
right. But I may do it anyway. So here's an email that came in. We got to mention this. That Jeff from Chicago, he's kind of, well, he's making the claim that maybe Pete and I are misrepresenting George's, quote, slip of the tongue at the Museum of Television and Radio function that he was at several weeks ago.
I don't know. You guys listened to that pretty hard. I don't know.
Well, yeah, we did. I mean, at first we got kind of this bootleg version of it, and then StarWars.com on the paid side over at Hyperspace,
right.
They announced, they released the kind of a cleaned up, you know, nice version of it. And he does correct himself and go back and say, you know, actually two animated series. And Jay, could you do your best George here? Actually, two in our animated series.
It's two miniseries. Yeah.
So anyway, he goes back. So what Jeff is saying is, look, I don't think this is a slip of the tongue, because as I remember it, coming out of C3, he had always talked about two animated series, one geared towards younger kids in a more traditional 2D style and one in a Toy Story style that would be 30-minute episodes focused on Clone Wars. And Jay, yeah. I was at the second Lucas presentation. I don't ever
remember.
Yeah, I was at the.
Yeah, I was at the first one. So no,
well, la di da.
Exactly. No, I mean, and this is funny because Jeff also goes on to say, furthermore, keep in mind that I'm lazy and haven't gone back to the archives to verify any of this. Well, okay, so I'm as lazy too, because I saw the email come in and I was like, I don't remember that, but I'm not going to go back either. I recall him saying that there were going to be two series,
right?
Two animated series. There would be the Clone Wars series, whether it was animated or not, and then the live action series, whatever that ended up being, which
right.
is kind of how we're seeing it now. Two shows,
sure,
not necessarily two animated shows. So.
Yeah, I think you and I are remembering it correct. I think Jeff is the one that may be a little confused here, because I honestly feel that with the momentum that George's announcement, if you can call it that, at C3 about the series, the momentum that has had, we wouldn't have missed that detail over
yeah.
time. I mean, we'd still be talking about it. So we'd have been talking about three series
yeah.
all this time. Yeah. So,
and you know, and maybe it's I don't know. It'll be interesting to see. And I mean, the speculation we could go on again about this, but
right,
yeah, you know, we'll see. I'm sure there's going to be some more information coming up in and about C4.
Yeah. I'm sorry, Jay, what did you say? C4?
C4? Star Wars Celebration.
Yes, we are counting down the road to Celebration 4, and, well, I'm glad that we have our resident professor here, because he
yeah.
needs to teach Pete how to count. We were off last week on our count.
Yeah, as I told Pete before, and as he claims, he thought there was going to be no math involved. Last week, Pete said there was 10 weeks left, and we got a couple emails. Shane from Australia, who frequents our forums quite often, just wanted to write in to say, you know, by my count, there should only be 9 weeks. Unless you're a fan club member, you know, and then it'd be just a slightly less than that. But yes, it should have been 9 weeks last week. So that means this week, Jason, what would it be?
It would be 8 weeks.
8 weeks, right.
So right.
I have to apologize for Pete's error. I apologize. But yes, 8 weeks left until Celebration 4. And since Pete's not here to give you a tip this week, I thought I would throw in my tip. And I'm hoping that since I haven't been keeping track of everything that he's done, I'm hoping this isn't a repeat. But I want to remind everyone to decide what exclusives you want to buy in advance. We're getting a lot of information about what the exclusives are going to be. We've got some more stuff we'll talk about here in a minute.
Yep.
We've already heard about the, is it General Giant or Sideshow?
Sideshow with the Yavin Luke.
Right. And so a lot of stuff's coming out. So plan your budget. That way you can decide how much you need to take with you so you can purchase all the exclusives. And if you can do the purchase ahead, you know, then just go wait in the line, then that's even better. But don't forget to add in how much money you're going to need to spend on food each day, because otherwise you're going to be pretty miserable.
Well, and Jay, you are a former resident of Los Angeles, right?
Yep. I went to college. Well, I was born and grew up there. I went to college there, yeah.
Okay, so the cat's pretty much out of the bag. We are going to have a mega Celebration 4 primer kind of get ready for Celebration 4 show that's going to be available. And obviously we're going to be picking Jay's brain to give you an idea of, you know, what it's like to be out there in L.A. and what you can expect to be around the convention center and what some of your food options might be and that sort of thing. So Jay's going to have lots of information about
yeah,
that.
Good. one of the best things I can recommend right now is at the off ramps to the freeways, there are guys that are selling oranges, and you can get like a whole bag of oranges for, you know, just a couple bucks. There, it's a really good snack.
Hey, oranges and saltines. Yeah, what more do you need?
Some ketchup, maybe.
So let's talk about some of the Celebration 4 updates that we have for you. The first one, the official poster has been released, announced, and I have to say, it is very cool. Very cool. You got to check it out. You can see it, of course, at theforce.net. It'd be linked over to starwars.com. Now, John Alvin is the artist that came up with this, and probably of all the images, and he says this in the write-up, of all the images in the Star Wars saga, probably one of the most iconic is the twin suns setting and Luke staring off the twin suns. And so if you can imagine that scene with the little, you know, shot of the Lars homestead, and it lifts up and it kind of swirls around in this sort of misty outer space, and there's kind of very subdued images from the whole saga. Very, very cool. What do you think, Jay?
I like it. It's very nice. As they say here, it's really capturing the past, present, and the future of the saga. And what a great idea and execution of, you know, the 30th anniversary of Star Wars. It's not a shot from Empire, not something from the prequels, which is, you know, what's current in everyone's mind. This is the 30th anniversary of something out of Star Wars, A New Hope. So I think it's great. Depending on how long the line is at the Celebration store, maybe I'll pick one up.
Right. Well, you know what's really, really cool is that John Alvin, the artist, has offered to autograph for free the poster if you buy it from the Celebration store. Just take it over to his booth in the exhibit hall, and he'll be there throughout the weekend, and you can have him sign it. I think that's very, very cool.
Yeah, and I'm sure there's going to be a whole bunch of other stuff there that he'll have available, because he's done several other Star Wars pieces as well. I think a Jango Fett and a Boba Fett poster as well. I don't have an image of those currently, but he's a very good artist, and I'm sure stop by the art exhibit hall and say to him if you like what he's done.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a beautiful poster, so check that out. We'll have the link on our show notes, and I promise to get the show notes updated this week. I apologize for that last week, but sometimes, you know, life just sort of gets in the way of certain things. We thought you'd rather have a show than show notes, right?
I much prefer a show. Than
Also announced this week, the Celebration 4 admission badges. Now, these are very, very cool. I'm loving the artwork. It's kind of a... I don't know really know how to describe. How would you describe it?
I was looking at it. It's kind of Kubrick style, you know, the Japanese Lego looking guys meets manga meets
Tartakovsky. They look like for me, it really looks like if Star Wars invaded Dexter's laboratory.
They're funky. I mean, they're like, I mean, you've got Wicket there, who is on the the 4-day child pass, and he's got one really large eye and one kind of small eye, and he's saying something in Ewok above him that's all kind of garbled icons and letters and stuff like that. And of course there's four different badges for each day, and then a 4-day pass. Plus, there are going to be the exhibitor badges and the VIP badges and all the ones that we haven't seen yet.
So they're trying to give as many different types of visitors to the convention their own unique badge, which is pretty cool, with unique artwork, rather than just changing the color and having the same art.
Yeah, and that's great. I mean, it's a lot of extra work that they're having to do, but it's great. And it's got the little punch-outs on it, so that hopefully if when you buy the exclusives, and they'll punch the appropriate holes out on the badge, which that was kind of a problem at C3. We'll see how that works with these badges. But as with the C3 badges, these are going to be available in the for sale in the store, and you'll be able to order them and then I guess get them shipped to you and probably in some kind of container afterwards.
Well, and as this show goes live today, it says register before today, but you know, I don't know if they're still taking reservations today, but this is your last chance to get signed up for Celebration 4 and actually get your badges sent to you in the mail.
Right. So, otherwise, if you order by April 30th, they'll be waiting for you at will call.
Okay. So they say. I've never trusted will calls.
because the guys named Will keep going up and getting all your stuff.
That's right. Also, the collectible program book has been announced. Now, this is pretty cool, too. Of course, it's going to contain kind of a history, obviously, of the Star Wars phenomenon. And the Randy Martinez illustrated the front cover. And again, very iconic, yet showing really the entire saga. It's a nice, it looks like it's going to be a nice book. I have it. I didn't actually get the program at C3. Did you get the program over there?
Yeah, the one that's had Anakin and Luke battling on the cover. Yeah, I picked that one up.
Right.
It's nice. I mean, it gives you an overview of, it has all the times and events that were going on. So afterwards, you can kind of sit back and go, okay, what did I miss? And, you know, what didn't I get a chance to see? Plus, it's got information about all the people that are signing autographs. You can use it to get autographs in. Plus, it's got, you know, this nice cover on it. And I may even have that up so people can go look at it, the Jedi Journal.
Oh.
If I've got that up there, we'll put a link in the show notes for that as well.
Very cool. And hey, $5. You can't beat that.
Yeah, $5.
Probably going to be the only thing you can buy for $5 in all of Los Angeles is the program book.
You'll be able to get you'll get a bottle of water and $5, and you can get the program.
There you go. Also, more collecting panels have been announced, and kind of as a sidebar to this, most, if not all, of these collecting panels will be also had at Celebration Europe. So if that was an announcement. So if you are planning to go to Celebration Europe and you can't make it to C4, fear not. These fantastic panels are going to be presented there as well. Some of the panels that were just announced, Star Wars Coins. That ought to be pretty interesting. They'll be covering, of course, Kenner's Vintage Power of the Force coins. And of course, we have new coins coming up.
You got new coins. Plus, you've got the medallions that they're giving out at the collecting panels. This looks like, how many of these is Gus Lopez on? Jeez. It looks like he's got a props and costumes one here, which I know Gus has got a couple crew jackets from, what is it, the Fintz Norway shoot for Empire.
Well, interestingly enough, there's going to be a whole forum dedicated, panel dedicated to collecting cast and crew items from the shoots.
Yep.
So very, very cool. I mean, it's something. I mean, literally, when they say that there's something for everybody, and I tell you, that's one thing that, you know, we've really learned in doing this show is I think it was Tim Zahn was when you and Pete were interviewing Tim, and he had mentioned at one point, you know, if you cut something out, it's you're always going to be cutting out one person's favorite thing,
right?
And it never ceases to amaze me. Just how many different types of collectors there are, and not just different types of collectors, but different types of fans. You get fans that don't really give a fig at all about collecting, and then, you know, some of them are all about it, or they're very specific. They're just vintage guys, or they're just, you know, it's amazing. So if you're a collector of some of the weird and unusual, there's going to be a panel at C4 for you.
Yeah, definitely. And I know I'm just going to go hang out the one that Dustin's doing.
Oh, yeah, that's the one on a specific character, right?
Yeah, the character focus one. So yeah. I think he's doing something like Lobot or something like that.
Ben Quadraneros.
That was it.
It's our new favorite here.
Wait, go to the new game.
Well played. Now, I don't know about you, but this is how I'm going to announce to my coworkers where I'm going when I leave for LA. If you check it out over at StarWars.com, they have some e-postcards that you can send. They've got four different ones, and I'm digging them. I mean, there's one with R2, he's serving drinks, and it's a Celebration 4 where the bartenders are the celebrities. And then there's another one with some Ewoks hanging out, so kind of like the sunroof of a limousine or something, and it says Celebration 4 or bus. I think that's the one I'm going to send. Because I work in kind of a stodgy office. It's a little stuffy. And so on my last day, everyone's going to be getting that in their email.
Yeah, I already get enough complaints as it is about the Star Wars stuff. So I don't know. I'm not really going to point that out. I'm just going to go on. I'm just going to take off on my plane trip and do it quietly. But they're very nice. You should go check these out. Definitely. They're very cool.
Yeah, we'll have the link on our show notes, or you can just go over to StarWars.com.
May the Force be with you.
May the Force be with you.
May the Force be with you.
Celebrate good times.
following announcement is brought to you courtesy of your friends at TheForce.net and RebelScum.com.
This is Sand Trooper TD0013 of a different point of view at ADPOV.net, and I need your help. On April 14, 2007, I will be taking part in the annual MS Walk on the Wild Side, which is a 6.1-mile trek beneath the Arizona sun, and I'll be doing it in full Sand Trooper gear. Now, until April 14th, the producers of this fine podcast you're listening to right now will have a link banner that says, Help TD0013 help those with multiple sclerosis. This orange and black banner will take you directly to my page on the MS Society's website, and there you can make a donation to the cause. From $1 to $1 million, anything you can spare would be most appreciated. For years you've heard me talk the talk, now I'm going to walk the walk. For updates on my progress and debriefings after it's all said and done, keep an eye on my website at www.adpov.net. I'm TD0013. I'm from the Empire, and I'm here to help.
This is the Weekly Forcecast with Jason and Pete.
And then they go into this bar, and there are all these space creatures, and then someone makes the mistake of picking on Obi-Wan Kenobi, and then he takes out his lightsaber, and he goes whoosh, and he chops his guard's arm right off, because it's a saber that's made out of light.
So, Eric, you're going to get yourself some Star Wars pajamas now?
The galaxy is listening.
Believe it or not, that was just the top of the show. Unbelievable. We still have headlines coming up in just a second. Let's punch it.
I have good news for you, my lord.
That's good news.
Come closer, I have good news.
I have good news, my lord.
That's good news.
All right.
All right. And our top headline, of course, all of the announcements coming out this week with the Star Wars 30th anniversary and the USPS, that's United States Postal Service, for those of you outside the U.S., kind of a joint promotion that they've got going on, of course, for the last couple of weeks. These mysterious R2-D2 styled mailboxes have been showing up. I got to say, I've been looking around. Canton, Ohio. I haven't found mine yet.
I've been told that there's one at the light rail stop right outside of Oriole Park in at Camden Yards here in Baltimore, and that was like the one place I didn't drive by when I was looking for it. I went down by the Inner Harbor where all the, that's another tourist destination, but I went to the bigger tourist destinations trying to find mine, so I got to go back and check that out this weekend.
Well, and if you thought that the biggest part of this promotion was just that the R2 mailboxes, think again. How about...
What? There's more?
There is more. If you've been following this, and of course, nobody does a better job. Nobody does a better job than TheForce.net and RebelScum.com at following these stories. They get the scoop before anybody, and which is just, that's just amazing. So all leading up to, as we record this show live just a couple of days ago, there was an announcement made at Grauman's Chinese Theater, which of course back in 77 was Man's Chinese Theater, and was one of only 32 theaters, unbelievable when you think about it, to open Star Wars back on May 25th, 1977. So the event that they held earlier this week was to unveil 15 postage stamps.
I thought we were getting a couple.
Yeah.
And 15.
It's unbelievable. So now those are not going to go on sale until May. And so you can get a sheet of all 15, and you can see the pictures there online. And then they've got a contest right now where you can go on, you can log on to their website, the official website for the promotion.
Yeah, USPSJediMaster.com.
Yes. And you can vote for your favorite, and then that will get its own run or its own sheet. See, I'm not a stamp collector, so I don't know what all the terminology is, but you know, a sheet of stamps.
I believe it's a sheet, even though they're like sticky now. And,
right. Know. Oh yeah. I mean, you don't have to lick them.
Right. It's you might be able to get a roll, but it's probably going to be a sheet like they do the what is it? They got superhero stamps and other Disney stamps and stuff like that in sheets.
I mean, it's pretty cool when you think that Star Wars is second only to Elvis Presley as far as the USPS is concerned, because this is only the second time in the history of the United States Postal Service that they have given folks an opportunity to vote on a favorite stamp.
Well, thank you very much.
So
you had, you could have voted for fat R2 or skinny R2.
I think it should be Doll Vader from Star Wars or Shiny Vader as he looks at Empire and Jedi. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah, your classic ones, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Did you ever notice that? He's really dull looking in Episode 4.
I hadn't noticed the difference. I'll check that out.
I think there's a big difference.
Of course, if you're
watching
it in high def, you're probably watching in high def, right? And that's
well, I am, but I've noticed that. I've always noticed that the costume he gets, and then you see him a Jedi, and man alive, he just glistens. It's very cool. Very. I don't know. It's one of those things I noticed. What can I say? Anyway, so check it out. You can these stamps will be available later in the spring, I believe May.
May 26th.
Well, May 26th, they'll be available. The announcement for the favorite stamp is going to be May 25th, appropriately enough.
Yes.
Gee, where am I going to be?
May 25th.
It sounds familiar.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm going to be at some party.
Yeah, that'll be fun.
So I mean, go ahead, Jay.
I was going to say, the other neat thing is not only are there stamps, but they've got these mailer envelopes. They have a preview of them. There are three different mailer envelopes, a Vader, a Yoda, and an Obi-Wan Kenobi, all Episode 3 related imagery that you'll have seen on posters and books and lunchboxes and stuff like that. Just the mailing envelopes that you can buy and ship books or magazines or whatever in. And I think they're like going for like $14 a piece or something like that.
Well, I mean, it's
a couple pounds in them.
Very cool. And I can't think of a better stamp to use on a postcard as you're at Celebration 4, letting all the suckers know that weren't able to get out there, right? What a great time you're having. But I mean, 15 stamps. So, I mean, if you kind of go down, obviously, you got Darth Vader. You've got the great image from Episode 3 of Anakin and Obi-Wan battling it out. You've got Palpatine. You've got Princess Leia bending over and sticking something into R2. You've got Boba Fett. You've got
the classic Luke with the two sons that we talked about.
Right.
With the poster.
Amidala.
Yeah, Amidala right there from Episode 1. They've got someone from every, or they've got an image from every film here, I believe, is what they were saying. Let's see.
I'm looking for Episode 2.
Yeah, I don't see anything from Episode 2 unless, that's Episode 5 Yoda, so, interesting.
It's not fair! That's my Episode 2. My Episode 2 protest. They're holding me back! All right.
Okay.
Moving along. The next story here we've got is the... Oh, Jay, you might want to take this one.
Oh, is this the...
These are your EU releases.
Expanded Universe releases for the week. Well, earlier this week at comic stores, we knew that the Boba Fett trade paperback Man with a Mission... was going to be coming out, which collects four single Boba Fett issues, Overkill and Agent of Doom, which were two of Boba Fett's one-shots that came out, and then and then two issues of Empire, I believe issue 7 and issue 27. Those are all collected into a trade paperback with a new cover by Suneo Sanda. And then Legacy 10 came out, and did you pick up your copy of Legacy 10 yet?
I have not picked up my copy of Legacy 10, but it will be waiting in my box at my local comic book shop.
Okay, well, you might want to hurry over and get it. I don't know if anyone who's been following Legacy, you may remember there was kind of a excitement in the fan community when people saw a ghost of Luke Skywalker on the cover of, I think it was like issue 7.
Big news. That was big news. Luke Skywalker is dead.
Yeah, and we don't know how he died, right?
But right.
In the Legacy era, in the Legacy comic book era, at the end of the Legacy era, he is dead, and he's counseling Cade. Well, the last three or four pages of this one, there is some new Skywalker news. Quite a shocker, unexpected, And I don't want to give it away here for anybody.
Oh, come on, come on.
No, no, it's, I mean.
Spoiler alert. No, we can't even do a spoiler. I guess it's too fresh. It's too new.
It is. I mean, it just came out on Wednesday. I'm sure some people haven't even gotten to their store yet to pick it up. But I want to encourage anyone. This is the second part of a two-part series. And anyone who's interested in, you know, just keeping up with what's going on in the expanded universe, this is a, I got to say, this is a must-have series. This has just got issue after issue. There's just great stuff happening. And this is, you know, it's great material that will lead us into the next couple arcs. I'm sure we'll be having all sorts of cool stuff about that. And then the other thing that caught me by surprise, and I'm sure a bunch of other people that went into their store on Wednesday, was 2 weeks after the first volume of the 30th anniversary collection came out, volume number 2, Jedi vs. Sith, came out. So we dropped $20 for our hardcover of the Freedom Ad uprising a couple weeks ago, and now $25 this week, which is actually $5 cheaper than they solicited it for. And then right. on a so I was, I mean, I'm excited that it came out, but I wish they'd stick to a monthly schedule. It's it's maddening that there are comics that are literally 5 or 6 months late, and then they're pushing these hardcover books on us every 2 weeks. So, but you know, if people are going to complain about all of their sideshow, you know, statuary and stuff coming all at the same time, I can complain about this. So.
That's right. Please do.
And then. Since it's the end of the month now, looking forward into April, we've got several new books coming out. Right now, at the beginning of the month, you can look for Last of the Jedi, number 7, Secret Weapon, which is it's one of their younger reader series. It's by Scholastic. And it's actually been reported being out. Some people have been finding it, have found it, like, I think, as much as 2 weeks ago or something like that. Also, for all of the collectors out there, you can pick up the new and revised Super Collector Wish Book, Volume 4, which is due out right here at the beginning of April. And then sometime in April, we don't have a specific release date yet, but The Art of Ralph McQuarrie is coming out. And we've talked about this on the show before.
Oh, yeah.
It's I believe there are still copies available for pre-order at ralphmcquarrie.com, or actually it's through Dreams and Vision Press.
Right.
Which can be linked to from ralphmcquarrie.com. There are only 2,000 copies going to be that are going to be made, and they're making just a regular trade edition. Then they're going to do 250 of them with a gold-stamped cover and this special kind of cloth, and it's going to be hand-signed by Ralph and Doug Chang and Ken Ralston, and then they're going to do 52 copies that are going to be gold-stamped with a sheepskin deluxe presentation box, which you can check out the pictures at Dreams and Vision Press, and it's going to be signed by Ralph, Doug, Ken, and Anthony Daniels, and that'll only set you back $750.
Oh, so, my.
Exactly. So they hope to have, if they haven't sold out of these, there will be some available at the show at Celebration 4. But if you're interested in this and the art in it just looks amazing, it's just.
Well, we were lucky enough to get a little preview from the good folks over there at Dreams and Visions Press. And my gosh, you know, for a while I thought, you know, I could live without this book. But after seeing that.
Have you ponied up for it yet?
I haven't yet. Yeah. I guess I keep hoping that one will just find its way to my house, but I don't know if that's going to happen. So I'll bring it over.
Yeah, I'll bring my copy over and you can look at it. But that's about it. So
it's probably the only way that's going to happen. So, but yeah, it's something I might just have to do. You know, I'm turning 30 this summer, and so this is going to be the summer of me. You know, we're going to have the Star Wars, I'm going to the, obviously the convention. So, you know what? If I want to buy myself a $100 book, I'm going to buy myself a $100 book. Right?
Honey, is it okay if I buy a $100 book?
Yeah.
Right. Check with your wife first.
Yeah, will you ask her for me?
Sure.
Well, you know, of course, since we had you on the show, we had to get the EU stuff in before the collecting stuff.
Oh, I appreciate that.
Do you ever feel slighted that we throw the EU stuff in last?
No. Okay. And sometimes it even gets in a separate podcast, and that doesn't bother me at all. Or, you know, no, I'm fine with it.
Because for a long time I thought, well, maybe we should I told Pete one time, I said, maybe we should rotate these so we're not always. Because I don't mean to imply that by, you know, hitting EU last, I think it's a holdover from the old days.
That's okay.
If you go back to
no, seriously.
If you go back to the archives and listen to the first few shows, you know, where the format was a little bit different. We always did EU last, so I guess that's sort of a holdover. But
You've come up with a style for the show, and people expect stuff to be in a certain place. So if they want to skip ahead, they kind of know where they need to go.
Hey, there you go.
You know, it's as people have said, you know, it'd be nice if we had markers in our show so you could skip right to what you wanted to hear. But then, you know, you'd miss all this other great stuff that we talk about, or, you know, flub, or whatever else is going on. So
yeah, you can't miss a second of this show. You never know what's going to happen. Exactly. Or who's going to screw up, or whatever.
Or what secret is going to be revealed next.
That's right. Especially when we have you on the show with all of your information. And you know more than you can say, which is, you know, it's like talking to Curto. You know, Curto is so frustrating to talk to sometimes because he's usually pretty forthcoming, but there are sometimes he really can't say something and it's something cool or... You know, but
well, you know, it's a very important secret that we get kept between. I'm a secret keeper, so all the fans of MuggleNet will know about that. So.
Oh, did we just plug Harry Potter?
Oh, well, we were plugging Star Trek, so I figured we'd plug Harry Potter this week. So.
Oh, do you mind if I say something real quick about the Star Trek deal?
All right, if you must.
All right. Oh, don't play me that way. Shepard. Don't do that, because I know you're a fan. I know you're
just a co-host, not a Star Trek fan.
Here's what I just want to say. I just want to preserve my Star Wars fandom cred here, okay?
Okay.
If I had to choose between the two franchises, there is no question, no contest at all. I am a diehard Star Wars fan. Great. I just appreciate Star Trek. That's all. And I think, and you brought this up when we were talking earlier, and it's a great point. The reason is that if you go between the years of 1986 and what,
91 to 95, depending on where you started picking up on the new stuff.
I'll tell you, I'll tell you where the new stuff hit me. It was not the Zahn novels.
Okay.
It was the Bendems.
Oh, so we've been in, what, 95 then?
Well, no, because the figures came out in 95, so I'm thinking like 93, 94 the Bendems, because the Bendems would be on the shelves, and I'd get so frustrated, like, why are they doing these crappy Bendies? Like, why don't they do figures? Well, and then the Jawa Trader came out with the picture of the new figures, and, you know, of course, the rest is history. Right. But that's where the Renaissance found me. The question is, where has the 30th Anniversary Collection found you? Did you find them all? Did you find them all? On the official release day, March 24th.
There was an official release date?
There was an official release date for this. And, you know, it wasn't something that was widely announced. You know, we were talking earlier, you know, you got the shelf dates of course, the prequel merchandise for all their respective years, which they made a pretty big deal of. And even the sneak peek figures for Episode 3 they made kind of a big deal of. But I hadn't really heard a whole lot about this big street date of March 24th.
Yeah, well, and especially since the battle packs had been showing up since January.
Yeah, and some of the vehicles, too.
Right, and those were, I mean, they were in the new packaging, right? They were the 30th anniversary ones, so, you know, but who knew? But yeah, most of the basic figures started showing up over the last couple weeks here, or actually over the last week, depending on what you've seen.
Right, the first wave of 9 figures, including the McQuarrie Signature Series Concept Stormtrooper, which is really going to be the toughest figure to get, I think.
Well, right now it's one per case, but of course, as they do new cases, I'm sure it will be repacked in larger quantities to, you know, so if you miss, you know, if you don't see it, I wouldn't freak out at this point. It's, you know, if it becomes like June and you haven't found one yet, then you might want to start looking.
Good advice. Don't get on there and, I mean, don't get worried in the next couple of weeks and start paying, you know, $50 or $60 a pop on eBay. Just give it some time.
Yeah.
But I mean, let's be honest. I mean, this whole McQuarrie idea with these figures, it is about making them somewhat limited. So they're not going to be as plentiful as the others.
And of course, you know, like myself, I'm slowly trying to wean myself off of the action figures, and unfortunately, that's
You're
like
what?
Well, like, I told you how much those books were, man. I got to save my money, and there's a lot of stuff coming out this year.
Yeah, there is. It's tough.
It's, you know, as you become a well, and also I'm running out of space too. I mean, as any seasoned collector, I mean, I've been doing this now for, well, hardcore with the action figures for 12 years, and you know, you run out of space for stuff.
Jay, I think we just stumbled on a new segment here. I think we could have Star Wars Collectors True Confessions. You're giving up collecting the 3¾ figures. How does that make you feel?
Well, I'm not really giving them up because I'm still getting the ones I want.
Which happens to be most of them, right?
Well, it's like one of those things. If I see them on clearance, I'm not going to pass them up. But I'd like to say I'm only going to get the ones that are new, right? Which is, let's see, 8 out of the 9.
Right.
And I don't want to collect I'm not a coin collector, so I really am not excited to get the coins. So, you know, I mean, if I get some, I'll keep them and stuff like that, or give them to some friends that need them.
Right.
I'm just trying to, you know, but the McQuarrie stuff, like I saw those, like the Chewbacca, the Darth Vader, the Boba Fett. I mean, those all look really cool. And you know, I would like to have those because I'm an opener. I know.
Yeah.
You know, but I open them, I put them into these nice cases, and so my kids can touch them and play with them, and everybody can get some joy.
Well, so all of them, including the, of course, the Darth Vader and the 30th anniversary coin album, should be hitting the shelves. If you don't see them, if you haven't seen them yet, you should be seeing them pretty soon. I know that the pegs were really getting thinned out just prior to this, so I kind of had a feeling that something was happening, but I wasn't aware that there was an official announced street date for these. And when we had Daryl DePriest on from Hasbro on our Christmas episode, you know, Daryl, we really kind of talked to him about that. I mean, can we look forward to more street dates in the future? And he said the logistics of that are just impossible. As much as they would like to do that, it's just very difficult to do.
Well, and especially when you've got retailers who suffer no recourse for putting stuff out before a release date. I mean, going back, if I may, for just a second to how we mentioned Harry Potter before, the publishers of Harry Potter, they put a very definite street date. No book goes on sale. No boxes get open. If something comes out, there's a cease and desist order. And, you know, they were saying with book 6, you know, people couldn't even read the book in advance if they happened to accidentally buy it before the street date. So, but then you've got, you know, retailers, I would say probably Walmart is one of the biggest, you know, fudgers of these dates. You know, there'll be boxes that are being put out that say, you know, don't put out before, you know, say April 1st or something like that. And there are people, you know, in the middle of March taking pictures. Look, I found all these new boxes, and here's, you know, they're being unpacked. So,
yeah, I mean, you see it all the time, obviously, with certain media like books, CDs, DVDs, that sort of thing. And it's a lot easier from an inventory standpoint as well to do that. But, maybe someday.
Let's talk about what else they can expect to see on the shelves here. Besides, we've got the 9 basic figures, and we've got 6 battle packs. People may already have seen the Target exclusives: the Ambush on Ilum with the Chameleon Droids, and the Snow Bunny Padme, and Betrayal on Felucia with Ayla and the what's her clone group called? The yellow clones.
Boy, if you don't know Jay Shepard, I'm telling you, you're in trouble.
They're the 417th or something like that. I don't know.
Right. Sure. Yeah, it's Ayla with a bunch of clones.
Exactly.
And those are the 2 Target exclusive. Then there's the Walmart exclusive, the Treachery on
Seleucami.
Seleucami. That's what Seleucami. That's just what I was going to say.
Yes, and that's actually some people have sent us some pictures of finding that. That's Captain Neo on his speeder bike, and another of his clone brethren on a speeder bike as well. Right.
Also, the Battle of Geonosis and the Capture of Tanno 4. I mean, you're right. I mean, these have been on the shelves for a long time, and I have to say, I mean, and I've made no secret of this, that I am I'm one of those pre-order guys. I like to go on, order my case assortments, and be done. So I don't necessarily get out to the stores as much as I would like to. But, you know, obviously we do the show here. So now Pete, though, on the other hand, he's pretty rabid. He hits the stores several times a week. So I rely on him for those store reports. But
I've been doing that because I've been trying to find the Galactic Heroes. I know you are not a big fan, but I happen to like them.
They've totally won me over. They've totally won me over. I just haven't taken the plunge because I know as soon as I get them, I start. It's over.
Well, I gotta say, my kids love them, and that's one of the few toys that I'll let them take out, and they can kind of do what they want with them because they're virtually indestructible. They're no small parts. I've had guns and lightsabers bent and stuff like that, and I get a little freaky about those. But these, I mean, the guns don't fall out of their hands. The lightsabers are nice and thick. These guys are squat and heavy duty, and you can kind of toss them around, and nothing happens. But they've got a whole another group of. 4 2-packs of those coming out now. Plus, there's a Snowtrooper and a Hoth Trooper that are really hard to find from the previous wave. And I have yet to see these, but these have been showing up in my area. I know, so that means they should have pretty good distribution since I'm on the East Coast and things kind of tend to come from the West towards the East. The Order 66 2-packs.
Right.
There are 6 of these, and it's a repacked figure with a brand new retooled version of a clone. So you've got like the Emperor and Commander Thyre, who's one of the red shock troopers, Mace Windu and his purple Galactic Marine, Darth Vader and Commander Bo or Bow. I'm assuming it's Bo.
B-O-W, I'm so glad that occasionally you even get tripped up on some of these things. It makes me feel better.
Well, for this, it's like, you know, it's so easy, right? It's B-O-W, right?
Right.
How do you say that?
It's probably like Boo.
Yeah, Salukamai, no problem.
Right.
Well, that's actually canon because that was mentioned in Revenge of the Sith. So.
Right.
And then let's see, Obi-Wan Kenobi and an Utapau AT-RT driver, Anakin Skywalker and an airborne trooper, and Yoda and one of the Kashyyyk troopers. So, I mean, that's pretty cool. They come in. They're really cool looking package. They're the little tubular packaging, kind of like a smaller version of the recent Unleashed packaging.
Right. Awesome. Where Pete's crying. it's not bad, and it's kind of strange because it seems like we've really flipped. I mean, for a long time it was these army builders, these troop guys, troop collectors that were always kind of complaining about not having enough, and now it just seems like we are just inundated by clones.
Yep.
It's a good time to be a clone collector.
Yeah, I mean, and for a while there, I was like, great, so now we can get all these clones, but, you know, now they've kind of, Hasbro started blurring the line between, okay, these are, clones you've seen in the movie, and these are just ones that we've decided to paint this way, and then now they're re-releasing older ones, but now they have removable helmets with the Jango head underneath.
Right.
And I'm like, oh, you know, again, it's... And plus, the prices have gone up, you know,
yeah.
80 cents or a dollar or whatever it is per figure. So just, you know, all sorts of forces are kind of saying, you know, maybe it's time for me to slow down. But I'm not telling everybody else to slow down. You got to make your own decisions for this. But this was a nice break point for me.
Well, I can tell you that I've had the opposite, where this 30th anniversary collection with the coins has really reinvigorated my love of the hobby. And I haven't slowed down. But I'm just more excited about getting them. And so it's actually, I kind of added it up, you know, about how much, you know, I spend per year.
Uh-huh.
And I thought, yeah, buddy. And I thought, you know, I'm going to have to start cutting some of this stuff out. So for a lot, I got to say, getting back to True Confessions here, that I had at one time envisioned getting all of the Sideshow 12-inch, and now I'm just going to have to go just get the ones I want, the ones that I really want. Because
I had to come down to say, I am going to get the Sideshow Dejerik table, and that's it.
I love it. It's the most random piece. I can't believe you ordered it.
And that's why I ordered it, because it was like, I can't see them having to do anything else with this. Excellent.
Oh, I love it. That's perfect. That's a perfect reason to buy that. Yeah.
I that was always a favorite scene of mine, so I kind of wanted to get that. I talked about that the other week. So I thought that was a cool little one-off, and I won't feel like I need to get an R2 or a Chewie to go with it or anything. It'd be a nice little piece to sit somewhere, and people go, oh, that's interesting, and maybe when they look closer at it, they'll go, oh, Star Wars, okay.
Well, you can check out the whole list of what should be on the shelves as of earlier this week. Check it out over at rebelscum.com. Now, One of the I was going to say
since we're talking about the list of what's currently on the shelves, I wanted to mention that there is we have a rumor out now of what may be coming to the shelves.
You wouldn't be mongering that rumor now, Jay, would you?
Oh no, me no monger. this was actually posted by our French correspondent Stefan, and he got a report in from TK842 via email, from our European Rebel Scum forums. And according to the French Toys R Us computers, which would be called, I guess, Le Computer, there are two new vehicles in their system, something called a Hyperspace Starfighter, which we're guessing is probably a repack of Obi-Wan Kenobi's Attack of the Clones Starfighter with a hyperspace ring, 3 3/4 style, not the, the titanium one, but this will be a full 3 3/4 scale one. And then the other one just says Interceptor. Was that, TIE Interceptor, I guess?
Yeah.
And we have reason to believe that this will be an EU TIE Interceptor, possibly Baron Fell's TIE Interceptor from In the Empire's Service comic series in X-Wing Rogue Squadron, which would be, for those of you who haven't seen that, it's a regular TIE Interceptor with red stripes across the wings.
I have to say, Jay, I find it somewhat kind of ironic that, of course, being the EU buff that you are, that you're having to maybe pull back on some of your collecting just at the time when the floodgates are really starting to open as far as incorporating the EU into the toy line.
Well, I've always been a big EU supporter in the Hasbro line, and that's why one of the reasons I want to buy the McQuarrie figures, because I want to support that kind of, extreme to the collecting, extreme parts of the line.
Right.
I'm a big supporter of the old Expanded Universe. I've always bought the Expanded Universe characters when they come out, and maybe the clones, those are kind of iffy if they're Expanded Universe or not, some of the clones. But as far as these new comic 2-packs, well, since I'm a comic collector, I kind of got to get the comic 2-packs. And that's great because, we got a Quinlan Vos and a Vilmar Grock figure this year.
Right.
And what else? We got the Dark Woman and Isharad Het.
Of the more recent announcements, yeah.
Right. And the Obi-Wan, there's an Obi-Wan Kenobi and Alpha from the Republic comic series during the Clone Wars with Obi-Wan's got a swappable head. So, yeah, I'm a little torn, but it's kind of easy because at least at this point so far from what I can see coming out, it's easy enough for me to delineate the line. Because it's kind of a whole separate, it's the 2-packs, right? So it's something entirely different. But with the ships, when they start getting into EU ships and stuff like that, I'll have to see if it comes with a Baron Fell figure or an EU figure. Then I'll have to think about it. So, but I already, I have however many versions of the TIE Interceptor as it is. So,
well, there are very rare opportunities in Star Wars collecting when, because we, believe it or not, we get emails from people that say, I've been a Star Wars fan for a long time and listened to the podcast and, I want to start collecting, or you guys have really inspired me to start my collection again. And so there are very rare opportunities where you can start fresh with a line. And Gentle Giant is offering this opportunity. And for those of you that have been with us for a while, it's like they might as well call them, the Jason busts. But the Gentle Giant Jason bust line is an opportunity. Well, what it is it's, it's a new line. They're calling them Classic Busts. And right now they're available at StarWarsShop.com. They're going to be around $30. Again, Gentle Giant is putting these out. I think they're fairly comparable in size. Or they might be a little bit smaller. It's hard to tell from the pictures, and I don't have the actual dimensions right in front of me.
I don't think they've released those, actually. So
okay. But basically, it depends on which figure, but they're... again, they're similar to the mini busts, but probably less detailed. Certainly, they're cheaper, so I would imagine that the material that they're producing them, that they're making them out of, it's probably a lighter weight material, not quite as museum quality as the mini busts. But they're starting off with a bang. I mean, they've got three pictured up of shooting this thing. Just
we got Boba got, Fett. Got,
my got notes to, just.
We've got Boba Fett. We've got the TIE fighter pilot, and we've got Kit Fisto.
Thank you.
And very much like you were mentioning, these are similar to the mini busts. And what these remind me of is the early mini busts, because these don't have arms.
Right.
So it's the torso and part of a shoulder. The figure kind of comes up from a round base. It looks kind of like a chess piece base. It's right. It's a couple layered circles that kind of come up, connects into the bottom of the torso, at the belt. For the figure, and then comes up into the full torso, and then kind of tapers up and out to a invert or a V, I guess, kind of with their shoulders, and then it's got their head and stuff like that. So they're kind of cool looking.
They are very cool. And I, you know what, I just got my notes back up here, and I went over to StarWarsShop.com. 7 inches tall.
Oh, okay.
So I mean, these are significant in terms of size. I mean, these are going to be great pieces. And this is an opportunity to get in on the ground floor of a new line. So if you're...
That's about twice as tall as one of the 3 3/4 figures.
Right, right. So definitely a nice piece. Jay, you mentioned a chess. I wouldn't mind if these were a little smaller and made into chess pieces.
Well, shoot, you could make a nice wood chess set. And well, depending on what else they come out with in the line.
I'm
collecting pawns for these. That would be $30 a chess piece. That's pretty expensive, actually.
I would say so. But I'm definitely giving these a good look. I gotta say, I'm giving them a look.
Yeah, I like the Kit Fisto. I think the sculpt. I mean, from what can you tell on the little imagery that you get from StarWars.com? They have the black, and then they have some larger black and white photos with a like a turnaround shot of it. But I like the paint apps. Whether the sculpting's there or not, they put some good paint apps on it, especially on his head tendrils. So.
Right. That's for sure. And right now, if you go over to StarWarsShop.com and order these, they've got exclusive Top Sculptors cards.
That
What's that about?
So more exclusive cards and stuff like that. Got to order something else to get the freebie if you're a card collector, right?
Right. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Sorry, I didn't mean to freak anybody out.
No. No, I thought you were going to say that you've collected all the Topps cards all your whole life, and now you're going to have to buy these just to get these exclusive cards.
No, I'm still trying to complete my set from when I was a kid.
Well, Lord knows there's someone out there that is reading this and going, "Oh God, I thought I was done."
Yeah, exactly. You're but never done.
Never, never. Hey, one last little tidbit in kind of the weird news. How would you like to have lunch with Harrison Ford?
I'd like to. Thanks very much.
What would you be willing to pay?
Oh, well.
It's not going to be free.
I was going to say, I'm saving up for these books, as I've mentioned before, so my budget's a little limited.
Well, over at, it looks like it's going to be at eBay.com. The week of April 13th, or at least the period from April 13th to the 23rd, there will be a 10-day auction, and the winning bidder will get a lunch with Harrison Ford. This is, of course, for charity. The E.O. Wilson Biodiversity Foundation is holding this, and Harrison Ford serves on the board of directors. And I guess apparently the mission of this particular organization is to educate and implement economic strategies focused on the three most critical and related threats to humanity, according to this organization: global warming, poverty, and the loss of biodiversity. So bidding will start at $2,500.
Yikes!
Yeah, that's just the start.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Well, if we all chipped in.
Well, you know, I just mentioned at the top of the show, you know, I have this little thing going on with you and McGregor, kind of this tormented internal love hate. Mm-hmm. I've got the same thing going on with Harrison Ford. I say
that it's the year of Jason or the summer of Jason, so why not bid on it?
That's right. Just so I can vent. I love Harrison Ford. I mean, I do. I love Harrison Ford, but every time I see him in an interview where he's talking about Star Wars, it's like he could just, you know, he could care less.
Yeah. Well, I think it, you know, it may just have to do with, you know, he's got other things that he'd rather focus on. I mean, you know, how much, well, I mean, other than Star Wars, like, what, you talk about anything that you were doing 30 years ago? Well, obviously not, because turning 30, it's a little difficult. But I mean, you know, I don't talk about, you know, Thundar the Barbarian or, you know, watching Snorks or something like that. You know, it's...
I guess I can understand, but the thing is, how many people get to be a part of a phenomenon like Star Wars?
Well, let's see. There was Mark Hamill and Carrie Fisher.
Well, you know what I'm saying.
Ford. Right. You know, I understand.
It doesn't strike you as just kind of a little, I don't know, a little stubborn maybe. But then again, I have heard that people who meet him one-on-one come away saying he just couldn't be nicer.
Yeah. And you hear that about, you know, I think all the celebrities. It's like if, you know, if you're going up with kind of a fan mentality and just, oh, my God, who are you? And, you know, it's like, I mean... Regardless of whether they're a celebrity or not, I mean, if you had someone kind of coming up just freaking out like that, I mean, I tend to shy away from those people when I'm walking down the street. So you can kind of imagine, you know.
Imagine what it's like to be you walking down the street.
Well, I was going to say, what happens when you're walking down the street of Canton, you know, looking for the R2-D2 mailbox? You know, how do you treat people who come up and say, I recognize your voice. Aren't you that Pete guy? And you say, no.
No, sadly, I'm not.
Yes.
I'm
not. Can you get his autograph for me? You know,
well, Harrison Ford. There you go. If you want
2500, huh?
Yeah, 2500. That's the starting bid. And by all means, if you win, if you can give him a message from me, I appreciate it. Tell him to warm up to the whole idea that, hey, dude, you're Han Solo. You know, there are worse fates. Okay.
Yes, you could be stuck in some kind of Indiana Jones franchise or something like that.
Right.
Actually, you could have been replaced by Ben Affleck. How about that?
Oh, my goodness. This sounds like a good time to read some Star Wars mail. What do you think?
Sounds good to me.
You must contact me.
Play back the entire message.
What message?
Message, Arthur. The message.
The Emperor commands you to make contact with him.
It's a trick. Send no reply.
All right, this first email comes from Bob in California. Jay, you want to take this one?
Sure. It says, Dear Jason and Pete, I was listening to the Forcecast and heard you talking about people's aha moment, so I would like to share mine with you. It was when I finally started reading the EU. One day I was shopping in the mall with my mom and I saw a book on the shelf of the bookstore. It was X-Wing Rogue Squadron. I have always been a fan of the movie, so I thought it'd be cool to read a book about Star Wars. So I asked my mom to buy it for me since it has a cool battle scene on the cover. She said she'd think about it. So after a week of me begging and pleading for her to buy it for me, she finally cracked. She went to the bookstore one day and got me what she thought was the book. She saw New York Times bestseller and volume one on the cover. And when she brought it home, it wasn't the one I wanted. I was really mad. I almost didn't even read it. Finally decided to read it. Oh, can you believe this? He's starting for Star Wars here, and he's like, oh, I'm not going to read that. That's not what I wanted. Well, of course, the book was Heir to the Empire. I was instantly hooked on the EU. I bought every book I could get my hands on, and I have to say, I say thank you to my mom constantly for inadvertently buying that book.
Well, I guess she could have done worse, huh?
Yeah, yeah. And he says it was the moment that I became a true diehard fan. So keep up the What's Up with the EU segment. You guys are doing a great job. And like I said, that's Bob from California. That's great. I mean, that's – except it wasn't my mom that I was bugging to buy it. It was my wife. that pretty much mirrors my reintroduction back into Star Wars and the EU. I was shopping in a mall and saw – the Heir to the Empire book, and I was like, huh, I didn't know there were any new Star Wars books coming out. What's this? And that was a great way to get back into it.
Well, and you know, everyone has a different one of these kind of aha moments. And you know, Pete and I were talking a couple weeks ago, and this sort of thing came out, and it's, I have to say that it's hard for me to pinpoint the aha moment, because you know, being born into a family of a lot of kids, where Star Wars, of course, was very popular at that time.
Sure.
It's like I didn't even really have a choice. Like, I never really chose it. Of course, I'm glad it worked out that way, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
But that's very cool. Thank you very much. for that Star Wars tale. This next one comes from Spooked Hippie. Sounds like a college professor I once had. Anyway, they go on, they say, "Hey, Jason and Pete, I thought I'd send in my Star Wars tale. I'm 21 years old, and from England, so when I was born, all three films had already come and gone. My father had been a huge fan of the movies, but never into the collecting side of things. When I was 5, my dad showed me A New Hope for the first time. My eyes never left the screen, and my jaw just hung open in amazement. After seeing the first film, my dad showed me the remainder of the films, and again, I was totally blown away with Empire being my favorite. I mean, Return of the Jedi as your favorite? Come on, Empire rocks. Hey, man, I'm not going to apologize for for Jedi being my favorite."
Yeah, we don't apologize on this show for what we like.
That's right. Even Star Trek. "At the time when I first viewed Star Wars, the English interest rates were just starting to slow down after extremely high rates that meant people with mortgages, like my parents, were just trying to keep on top of things financially, which meant they didn't have much money. Added to this was the fact that there weren't many figures about, as the films were long gone. My dad had taken his mother, my Nan, to see A New Hope when he went, and she had loved it too. Knowing how much I had enjoyed these films, she set about trying to get me these figures, which I, at the age of 5, didn't even know existed. Well, one Sunday afternoon, I walked into my Nan's lounge, and the entire floor is covered in Star Wars, and I mean every last bit. There must have been over 50 loose figures and all the memorable vehicles. The Falcon was there, the AT-AT, X-Wing, the Rebel Transport, all littering the floor. As you can imagine, I was in heaven. My Nan had been able to get them from a kid she knew who lived down the road, and then had painstakingly set them all up for my enjoyment. As a child, I thought, what more could someone ask, or what more could one want from life? I still have all the figures and vehicles she bought me, and although she passed away 6 years later, I always hold her accountable for my Star Wars obsession that has grown into the modern era of Star Wars. I know not a hugely interesting tale, but I always have fond memories of a time when money was tight, and yet I had the biggest Star Wars collection in the neighborhood. Thanks for the show, guys. Recently had gotten into it, and it does bring a bit of fun to my week. Spooked Hippie." So that's a great tale. I mean, what a moment.
Wow, I wish someone would put a bunch of vintage figures and stuff in my living room. That would be great.
Yeah, that's very cool. And the fact that it came from Grandma. Spooked Hippie, I'm one that can vouch. I know how special grandmas can be. So I really appreciate that tale. We got a couple more just regular mails. One coming in here from Sean in Indianapolis. He wanted to talk about the possibility of a DVD box set, and he doesn't believe that there's going to be one, and I have to say I don't think there will be one either. What's your thing?
I have to agree with that. It being already, you know, it starting the second quarter of the year, they'd have to have some information out to retailers you know, around now, I would guess, if they wanted to release it. He mentions, you know, wouldn't it be great to see it at Celebration 4? And if it were to come out then, I mean, that would be a huge surprise. And how well have they been able to hold the lid on previous DVD releases?
Right.
I mean, not to slide them or anything like that. It's just, well, you know, this stuff gets leaked out.
And well,
if it's coming in a couple months, there's no way that we're going to...
The announcement for the original trilogy, the unaltered versions, it took me by surprise. I know the folks at theforce.net and Rebel Scum. Now, you guys, you had heard about that, or you thought, but
heard about it about 12 hours before it hit.
Okay,
that's true. That one did take us a little bit by surprise, I will say.
But something of this magnitude, with all the work that would have to go into this to give us the ultimate box, and honestly, I just don't think they've had even time since Revenge of the Sith, and of course we know a lot of preparation has been going into the Indiana Jones, the Young Indy series on DVD. They've been absolutely. I mean, when we know one thing, when this thing gets done, I really believe, and I know there's some folks out there that kind of grumble, where I really believe it's going to be done right. And
Well, I hope so. I mean, like people talk about, it would be nice if they could put in, you know, the deleted big scene. Maybe some of the you know, other scenes and stuff like that, like the images that were on the laser discs.
Right.
You know, who knows? There's tons of stuff.
There's a lot of stuff. And when you start going into the prequels, there's even more. I mean, there was so much documentary footage shot for all those. I mean,
all the online content that they only touched on. I mean, there's only some of those that made it onto the DVDs. There was a lot more online content.
Absolutely. And, you know, one of the, I got to say, one of the regrets that I have is my favorite documentary that has appeared on the prequel DVDs is the one that was on The Phantom Menace, where it just, it covered literally the whole making of the film.
Yeah.
And you never saw for episode 2 or episode 3 that kind of macro
detail.
Look at the making of the film. I mean, I love the footage of Lucas just sitting in his office, kind of thumping the pencil on the pad. Well, I got to write
What am I going to write today? I've got something else to write. Let's see. Oh, yeah. Big guy. Funny voice. Okay.
At any rate, we want to thank Sean for the email. So I would say he actually mentions too, you know, with the whole Blu-ray and HD DVD kind of war battle going on, that he just doesn't think that it's the right time. You know, he's actually pulling. He says, you know, I'm hoping that the Blu-ray comes out on top, and wouldn't it be great to have not just Star Wars but the indie films also in HD. I think it's going to happen.
Yeah.
But as long as Lucas continues to believe, and I don't know that I fault him for this, because I think it's a pretty good thought that the future of films, of home video, so to speak, is not going to be some kind of tangible media. It's going to be a downloadable media.
It's Apple TV. It's what Steve Jobs was talking about at the last Mac conference. I mean, and it's people are already seeing it. I mean, you're going to be able to just plug your download your video and shunt it over to a media server that you've got somewhere, and that's going to broadcast it onto your TV, and it's going to be like super duper TiVo.
Yep. It wasn't long ago, a couple of months ago, I remember reading an interview with Lucas, and he had mentioned that, you know, there's going to be a massive server in your house that's going to be every bit as important as your furnace. It's going to be a main appliance in your home. And, I mean, there's a lot of people that live that way now. So,
as Homer says, come, family, let us sit around TV's warm, glowing warmth.
Oh, and we got another email here from Shane.
This is Shane in Australia. Again, this is our second mail from him that we've had.
I read
the one at the top of the show from him.
He
says, hey, guys, seeing that the new USPS Star Wars stamp coming out soon reminds me that the stamp Australia Post released a few years back for the 25th anniversary and episode 2. I thought I'd let you know so that you could let any philatelist out there listening in about them that might want to know about them add them to their collection. I'm not sure if they're still available from Australia Post, but I'm sure they'll be able to track some down somewhere. So here's a link, and he gives us a link. We'll put this in our show notes about the Star Wars stamps. And I seem to recall the 25th anniversary, seeing the 25th anniversary ones. I'm not sure if I remember seeing the episode 2 ones previously.
Well, of course, then there's all those, you know, aisles of, you know, these strange, you know, kind of out of the way islands that produce some of these stamps too.
Exactly. Licensed or not.
Right, exactly. But I got to go back to this. What did he call me again?
What did he call you?
A philatelist? I do not condone philatelism, folks. I just want to know. Philatelist? What?
That would be the collecting of stamps.
Oh.
Yes.
Okay. Yep. All right. That makes a lot of sense now.
Continuing on.
Thank you, Shane, from Australia. You know, this sounds like a good time to wrap this show up. What do you think?
I can talk now. Yes, that would be perfectly fine.
All right. Want to thank you, Jay Shepherd, for filling in for the absent Pete. Pete will be back next week. But no, honestly, it has been a lot of fun. Once we got the technical glitches, you've been great. Would you consider coming back?
I would love to come back. I got to say, I get such a kick out of listening to the show. I mean, being able to participate makes it that much more fun. I got to say, you know, just instead of chuckling in my cube at work. But anytime Pete is out of town or anytime you're out of town, please feel free to give me a call. And if I'm in the neighborhood, I will even stop into the studios for a live appearance.
Oh, now that would be cool. That'd be very cool. Hey, Jay, why don't you do the honors? Tell folks how they can contact us here at The Forcecast.
Certainly. You can contact us at The Forcecast by emailing us at podcast@theforce.net, or you can Skype us at Forcecast, or you can even call us on your cell phone or your landline at 330-871-4TFN. And as always, you can check out our forums at rebelscum.com.
And I know that Jay's on there a lot, always willing to answer all the questions that come out of that. all the great EU questions that people have, and a whole lot more. So we really appreciate having Jay as a resource.
I like to make myself available, and you know, it's part of my job.
Oh, and we want to encourage you to continue digging us over at the social news website, dig.com. That's digg.com/podcasts. There's some great comments out there, and we really appreciate those, as well as some fantastic reviews for our show at iTunes. Continue to do that. That really helps us. One of these days, we're going to get on that homepage there at iTunes. One of these days.
As soon as they start seeing those numbers going up with all the people downloading, they're going to say, that Forcecast, we need to promote them on the front page.
Yeah, get those Harry Potter kids out of here.
Exactly.
Well, that's good. Well, that's going to do it for us. Thanks so much for joining us. We'll be back next week again. Pete will be back. Thank you, Jay Shepard. Thank you, Jimmy Mack, for putting this show together for us. Stay tuned next week. Jimmy's going to have another galaxy of music that we'll be dropping on you. So make sure you check that out. For The Forcecast, I'm Jason.
And I'm Jay.
And remember,
the Force will be with you always.
The Force will be with you always.
Always.
This podcast is not endorsed by Lucasfilm Limited or 20th Century Fox and is intended for entertainment and information purposes only. The official Star Wars site can be found at www.starwars.com. Star Wars, all names and sounds of Star Wars characters, vehicles, and any other Star Wars related items are registered trademarks and or copyrights of Lucasfilm Limited or their respective trademark and copyright holders. All original content of this podcast is the intellectual property of the Force.net LLC unless otherwise indicated.